Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
What's going on, man?
Do we have some kind of day. Look, there's no NBA games tonight, but it doesn't matter. We got huge news from the NFL, Major League Baseball, and maybe the biggest news of all, Mike Harmon. I predicted the Hawks to go to the East Finals beginning of the season. I predicted the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. I also predicted Hawks-Bucks in the East Finals before the season started. So I just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that I made these predictions and I made these selections and they're happening. It's all happening right now. Just want to make sure people understand that because, you know, maybe they don't know. You know, maybe you're just listening to the show for the first time, which is the only way you don't know that I did that because, you know, I mentioned it once in a while. But I wanted to make sure that we started off on the right note by, boy, look at the NBA. Look at what we told you before the season was going to start for the NBA. Could have fast-forwarded all the way through the Eastern Conference, although then we would have missed the rise of the Knicks. But we could have fast-forwarded through all of this stuff to get to Hawks Bucks, and boom, here's where we are.
What rise of the Knicks are you talking about? They got to the playoffs, and right. Then they got bounced.
They rose from the bottom of the East to the middle
dead.
Of the East.
That they were dead, the rise and now of the Knicks. We've got a little bit of a faint line. Blip, zap them again.
It's okay. It still was a rise.
Look, as for the rest of the predictions, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that you dumped them on the side of the road like so many horror movies throughout the season.
When did I dump them on the side of the road?
Are you kidding me? We could find audio of you trashing Giannis Middleton.
We have
Budenholzer was fired 10 days ago. All of it. You hated them. You kicked them to the curb and said, you're out. Out.
We have difficult conversations on the show, and sometimes they're difficult for people. They are.
And sometimes, you know, your emotions get the best of you, and the predictions that you made last week have been put in a box.
Yeah, but I told you the Hawks in the East Finals in December, and I said they're going to play the
Bucks. Yeah, but if you had predicted that they'd fire the coach, Nate McMillan would come in and be a genius that unleashed this Trae Young. I'll give you credit. The crystal ball only had part of it.
But, buddy, everything I said the Hawks are going to be middle of the pack in the regular season. Their firepower is going to really force them to catch fire. They're the heat of last year. They're going to be in the East Finals. And I said, Hawks, but I mean, I don't know what else to say, buddy. I mean, look, this is rivaling my Aaron Rodgers in terms of, hey, here's predictions from like a year ago that are coming true already.
Yeah,
I mean,
but your end game's going to be wrong, so it's not going to matter.
Well, how do you know what my end game's going to be? You don't know what the end game is.
I'm just telling you. I got a crystal ball too that I'm shaking.
I got the infinity glove, man. I got more stones.
Don't you know those stones have been destroyed, man. Now they're like candy in the top shelf of a TVA officer's. Look, if you haven't seen episode one by now, you suck, and you didn't care to watch it.
We use these things as paperweights up here. Oh, okay. That's great. All right.
Just saying. You've had no interest in seeing it. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah.
But listen, and don't forget about my Clippers, who I'm a little nervous for, let's be quite honest, after losing to the Suns.
Another team.
Because I told you the Clippers and the Bucks are my official picks. Fox, we picked before the playoffs began. All of us picked, you and me and Colin and Dan and everybody else. We all picked, and I picked Clippers-Bucks. Right?
And I was the bold guy that went out, I got blowed up. So
You know what? You put too much confidence in Nikola Jokic.
Well, I also didn't pick chalk, so it's okay.
No, that's all right. But, buddy, look, so that was there. And then when you throw it in with my Hawks prediction from December, I could have saved somebody so much trouble. Just fast forwarded. What's going to happen, Jason? Well, in the East, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but if you have if you really do have the Biff Tannen almanac, you should be betting your ass off and being rich beyond your wildest dreams to wear the stones from the Infinity Gauntlet. You can actually find real gemstones to put in there. Man, what's he got? He's got a gauntlet that's worth $3 million sitting there. It's real gold. And it was made by Peter Dinklage.
Remember, I also told you that Thibodeau was going to be coach of the year in the East, and he was. I mean, I've gotten right, but I mean, it's
that was your
everything.
Fandom. Yeah, but we also have to acknowledge the fact that if you win an award, bad things happen to you. Because Nikola Jokic, 4 straight gone. Donovan Mitchell
true.
With his buddies Rudy Gobert and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out for them either.
No, it didn't. But it doesn't matter because I didn't pick the Jazz. So
no, that's
okay.
Right.
I picked the Clippers. I picked Clippers Bucks NBA Finals, and I put the Hawks in the East Finals. Buddy, I'm playing with found money, man. I'm walking around Vegas right now like I'm Danny Ocean going, I got everything going on.
Yeah, but you didn't win anything off it.
How do you know I didn't? How do you know I didn't buy another house today because of that?
I'm going to refuse to comment on that because I don't know that. If you made that much money, we would never see you again. That would have been the end of you.
How are you paying for this house in cash? Well, let me tell you. Before the season began in the NBA, I predicted that the Hawks were going to be in the East Finals. I laid a little bit of money down on it. You know, a little offshore accounts. And now.
Yeah, but see, now the tax man's coming for you. Otherwise, you're going to have to see how well you can connect your wrists behind your back.
I've already paid all my taxes. I paid preemptive taxes on this. I actually went to the government and said, listen, if this comes true for me, it's a big deal. And the government actually said to me, if this comes true, we're not going to take any money from you. Okay, so it's free and clear for me. It's one of those new tax laws that's in there. You know, if you go to the government with a real bold prediction way to make money and they say to you, we're gonna let you go on that, yeah, you don't have to pay taxes. I think that's how it works.
You know, right now you might be able to get that approved.
I took an HR block last. Twitter and I'm out of Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Hartman. So, yes, we have a lot of NBA to get to because we already know who's not playing in game 2 of the Suns Clippers tomorrow. But clearly today, a huge day, not only in sports, in humanity, as Carl Nassib, defensive lineman of the Las Vegas Raiders, who has been in the league for a while now, he's in the middle of a 3-year, $34 million contract, put this posting on social media earlier today on Instagram. He has become the first active NFL player to come out as gay.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day. Work hard.
All right, there it is. That's all I have for you. That's a lot. That put on social media earlier today, and it is the number one story on the planet. And, you know, he says a lot of wonderful things in there. You know, the money donating to the Trevor Project, which is great, and I'm hopeful that other teams, you know, the Raiders will all match the donation of some kind because it's a great thing that they do. But you know what he said that really rings true, and I think it's going to come sooner than later, is he said, I look forward to the day when announcements like this aren't necessary, where it's just something that happens and we deal with it and we move on. And I'm telling you, we are really close to that happening. Because generally now, look, we talked about this with Michael Sam 7 years ago when he tried to become the first active player in the National Football League. He got drafted. He never made a team. He bounced around a little bit, and his story kind of ended. Even though Michael Sam didn't make it, right? What's the big line from Moneyball that John Henry tells Billy Bean? First guy through the wall always gets bloody. Right, like when you're trying to break the mold on something, when you're trying to come out and be something, do something revolutionary, you're going to get a lot of stones thrown at you. You're going to get a lot of arrows going your way, and all kinds of things, and people getting upset, and people calling you out. And it becomes a difficult thing. It's very difficult to do that. But because of that, we were able to see the landscape in sports and see that, okay, we understand that maybe it's the older generation that work in the National Football League that didn't want to see Michael Sam make it, and the players really didn't care. And already you're seeing players tweet messages of support for Nassib. Saquon Barkley right away today, hey, got you, bro. You know, great stuff from him. And now we're going to get there because, yes, generally the players now, in the they don't care. Kids coming up now, Generation Z, they don't care what sex somebody is. They don't care who you like. They don't. They could give a crap about that. Are you a good person? Are you going to steal from me? Are you going to treat me good? Are you going to do all these things? They don't care about your sex. They don't give a crap about that. No one cares. But it's the older, the upper echelon of the NFL, people who have been in the league for a long time that have certain viewpoints and how they think about homosexuality, where it's, well, we don't want this guy in the team. But you know what? Michael Sam went through that. And now, after we've had that, now here comes Carl Nassib, and it's going to be impossible to blow it off or try to figure it out because he's already an active player. He's playing for the Raiders. The Raiders put out a statement of support for him already. Mark Davis already put out a statement of support from saying, nothing's changed what I thought of the guy before this happened. This is going to happen, and it's going to be easier. And I look back today because, you know, we talk a little bit about Michael Sam, but boy, without him doing that and understanding that, okay, here's the landscape now, and maybe the NFL isn't really ready, but we saw what we needed to do. And now here's Carl Nassib with this, and there's been no outpouring of, I can't believe this. There's been no people on social media, no NFL players like there were with Michael Sam going, oh my goodness, what's this all about? There hasn't been any of that. And so it was Michael Sam's the guy that broke through, and now, yes, 7 short years later, but it still is, you know, still is in this window of everybody remembers Michael Sam. Now Carl Nassib does it, and he's going to play this year, and we're going to follow his career. And even if you didn't know who he was, you know who he is now. Anything that happens, we're going to know about. It's documented. And then another player is going to feel good about it. Another player is going to come out as gay, and another one, another. And it's going to happen pretty quickly. And I love the fact that I think that's where we are now in the United States, that this story can come out and Carl Nassib is going to wind up being right. That eventually, and it's going to be very, very soon, people aren't going to care about what sex a guy is in sports. They're just going to go out and play. Yeah, he's great, and he's a teammate, and I love him, and we're going on, and we're trying to win a championship. We are really, really close to that, and this is a huge, huge day for that.
7 years is a long time. I mean, look how much the world's changed in 18 to 24 months. Pandemic and socially, so many conversations that were buried are at the forefront. And this being one, as we're in the midst of Pride Month, iHeartRadio, you know, and you'll hear the promos and all the different levels of support and reaching out and everybody in their communities. It's a big, big day. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, J.J. Watt, and that was one of the things that I think after the initial Nassib video came out was, all right, where are the stars, right? Everybody was like, all right, I want to see a couple of stars. And immediately, you know, two of the biggest at their respective positions, a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer chimes in. And, you know, it's just that level of acceptance. And again, where we're at in society, it's not eradicated completely. We know that. And attitudes are still changing. But the younger generations, they recognize there's who cares if you can, who you love and what you do in your life, is as long as you're a good person. And in this case, for the football side of it, you can play, and he's proven he can play, right? Because that was the other thing with Michael Sam was he going to make it and whatever else. And all of that was a secondary story that was swirling about in terms of him trying to get into the league. And I hope he recognizes the value and importance of what he did those years ago. It's certainly not lost on all of us that were in the media and who covered it at the time. You know, obviously not 100% acceptance. We remember the loud, outspoken folks of yesteryear, I guess would be the way to put it. Because, look, go and perform and be yourself, right? That's the golden rule to all of this. Go and be yourself and live your life authentically. And as you do, more will feel comfortable within the league, within the NBA, within, I mean, we had this long past in the WNBA and in women's soccer, and now perhaps more people that are trying to live double lives will realize maybe they don't have to anymore. Such a huge day. Great message, and I'm glad the outspoken outpouring of support was there, as well as a note from the NFL themselves, who sometimes aren't so quick to put out press releases.
Right, because you want to wait. Which way is the wind blowing on this? And that was the whole thing with Michael Sam, right? Was, hey, which way is the wind blowing? Where are we going? And it was okay even 7 years ago for people who didn't like gay players in sports to kind of hide behind something and go, yeah, I don't know. And you saw how Michael Sam never really got a chance to play in the league. It was very difficult. The guy's SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He gets drafted in the seventh round. So that tells you something. But now that we're looking at the 7 years later, it's okay. So if you really don't like this, we're going to find out, right? There's nothing that's still a secret or come out. So, oh, we're going to hide behind this. If there's people that don't like, we're going to find out who they are. And then the discussion's going to continue on to go. And I'm hopeful that people can get educated on that, that it really doesn't matter what sex you are or what sex you're interested in. It really doesn't. And because we had that moment and it's been 7 years to get used to it. You mentioned the 7 years. When you have years to get used to an idea, okay. You realize that, all right, well, we saw it break down and we saw the world is still standing. We're still spinning. Everything is okay. Hey, you know, if a player wants to come out as gay now, it's going to be a little bit easier. And the next guy will be easier. And the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. And I mean it. We're going to get there. Within a year or two, I think we're going to be true with that.
Yeah, I think just the other thing to remember, though, is that, you know, the locker room, you may still have some holdovers. There may still be some reticence and conversations that are held within there that never see the light of day. But maybe it's that point, just like everything else in our society, that we're at least having some discussions that maybe we wouldn't have had before.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. A huge, huge day in the National Football League. We have more on this coming up next with Jason Lockenfora. And also, who did Tom Brady, what was he talking about when he said, you're going to keep that MF-er over me when he was signing a free agent contract last year? Ho-ho! And it wasn't the Jets. And I don't think, it could have been the Bears. Oh, could have been the Bears. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo, buddy.
And just a quick update from the Indians-Cubs game tonight. You know, we talk about Javi Baez. You know, look at the big play he made against the Pirates a couple weeks ago, getting a run scoring when he makes the first baseman run up and try to tag him. It's, oh, my goodness, Javi Baez, he knows how to bend the rules and knows how to push things in Major League Baseball. He's so great. He was benched tonight for forgetting how many outs there were when he was on first base. Wow. Forgot how many outs there were, and it didn't go well for the Cubs, and so now he is sitting on the bench. So Javi Baez giveth, and Javi Baez taketh away.
Ah, Major League Baseball. I have a question I want to ask about Major League Baseball later.
Yeah. So we are going to wind up getting into baseball in a big way coming up in a little bit because, look, Jacob DeGrom had a big night tonight. He was the first player actually inspected for shenanigans and came up clean. Everything worked out okay for DeGrom. But Baez forgot that there was only one out, and when there was a fly out to left field, he just ran halfway to second base. And then when the Indians threw the ball in, he was just standing around. Well, what's going on? I thought there was two outs. It's like Tom Brady forgetting it was fourth down. And so Javi Baez has a seat on the bench.
Now he just has to win the World Series.
Yeah, that's all he's got to do.
And it'll be fine.
Just make up for it. It will be 100% okay. But joining us now on the hotline for all the big news from the National Football League, CBS Sports, NFL insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show, Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I tell you, not the day I think any of us expected. You know, we got Tom Brady, the MF-er thing we'll get to in a couple minutes, but this story with Carl Nassib of the Raiders, he's become the first active NFL player to come out as gay, puts it on an Instagram post. He's already pledging money to a big LGBTQ organization. Yeah. He's going to play this year. He's in the midst of a three-year, $34 million contract. So for the first time since Michael Sam, I ask you, Jay, is the NFL, are we ready for a gay, everybody ready for a gay player in the league?
I certainly think so. There's been gay players in the league for as long as there's been a league.
Right, well, publicly, I mean, sure. Gay players, yes.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to see a public outcry or uproar, right? I mean, that would be really kind of ridiculous. And whether or not guys were openly, I guess that's the term we're using now, openly out or not, for as long as they've been playing football, there have been gay players in locker rooms, and maybe some players in that locker room were more aware than others, or maybe at some point in time an entire locker room was aware and it stayed in that locker room. Remember, Michael Sam, he had come out to his teammates, I want to say a season prior to when he went public with his sexual orientation. They had kept that within their football family, really completely, right? Thoroughly, wholeheartedly. So I think what, you know, Carl Nassib has done is amazing, is awesome, is brave and bold, and hopefully will create a climate where others feel like it's time for them to have their moment as well and to tell their truth. And no, I don't think there are going to be any sort of negative ramifications. I think as a society, we're at a point in time where this shouldn't have to be a big deal or a thing. And hopefully the more players that feel comfortable telling their truths will create a climate where we're not even talking about this anymore in a couple of years, or, you know what I mean? Like it's not something where it's controversial or a news story when someone decides that they want to be open about their sexual orientation.
All right, moving into some of the other news, Jason, I'll leave Brady for Smith to try to phrase that how he wants to. What the hell's going on with Frank Clark? That's the second time.
This is someone who you can go back to police reports and witness statements and documents of allegations against him going back to, what, Ann Arbor and Seattle and
just a couple of months ago too.
It's a shame when certain individuals have been given a second and a third chance and an opportunity to make I don't know if it's technically his last contract's considered generational wealth or not. It's a lot of money, and to be able to play in the NFL and yet continually find yourself in situations like this, it's unfortunate when individuals end up on that sort of path. But we do have some laws in this country about firearms and what's permissible and what's not, and it obviously varies significantly by state and by situation. And this is not someone who is unaccustomed to finding himself in legal situations of one variety or another. And he's someone who, frankly, had an established pattern of behaviors well before the Kansas City Chiefs brought him in there. And this is something that they've done. This is kind of part of their fiber. They've taken a lot of chances on individuals. They've had mixed success, but ultimately they have achieved the pinnacle in team sports when you talk about hoisting a Lombardi trophy. I think you talk to people in the scouting community who've been paying attention to Frank Clark going back to his teenage years, and this is not something that is completely out of character to be facing charges like this.
Jason Lockin for our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, Jay, now let's get to Brady. Let's get to some more fun things, actually, because, look, we got heavy topics here. Frank Clark is a really tough topic. But Tom Brady, MFing people now. Ahead of a big HBO interview he does, he was talking about how...
Well, this is nothing new, by the way. I mean, he's been... you know, this guy is the ultimate assassin. I mean, he's a savage. He's been, you know, taking names and obliterating people in huddles and pregame and postgame and handshakes, and whether he's, no, I'm not shaking this guy's hand. Yeah, I might shake this guy's hand. Does this strike you as remotely out of character?
No, this is like Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame induction speech.
This is like part one of The Last Dance, Tom Brady style.
And I took that personally.
That's right. I took that personally. So,
yeah. Then I ripped his throat out and stepped on what was left of his neck.
Brady's gone from making sure we all knew his knee was screwed up last year, making sure there's no stone unturned, knowing that his knee hurt him last year. He does the promo for an upcoming HBO interview, which he says, you know, teams I was talking to last year, a team I was in on it at the end, and they didn't want it, and I didn't want me, and I said, you're going with that MF-er over me? And that's all we got, you know, from the teaser, but that's, of course, lit everything on fire. So using your powers of deductive reasoning, knowing who was in on Tom Brady at the end, you know, at the end, look, we know the Chargers were there at the end. We know potentially that the Bears were there at the end. We want to connect the dots here. Maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe it's Mitchell Trubisky. Who's your best guess who it might be?
Oh, I think it's the Chargers. I had heard from people close to him well before all hell broke loose with his actual free agency that, you know, that's somewhere he'd really want to be, and that would hold some allure with him. And you started to hear as this thing played out, and it took a little bit of time, that, oh, well, he really wants to be on the East Coast and this and that. And I think that there was something to be said for that when the Chargers didn't blow him away, didn't necessarily roll out the red carpet and over-recruit him the way that they should have. Now, it turned out, I think it'll be okay for them. I mean, I like Herbert, been absolutely amazing, but you got to go back to when all this is breaking down, and it's before they even knew which quarterback they were going to draft. It's talking about Tyrod Taylor, right? I mean, that's what they were looking at that time. If you made me sort of guess, if you made me, and I guess you guys are doing that. You
made
me, that's precisely what we're doing here. It's the game we're playing. I feel like that's a team that never really quite blew him away, showed him the immediate love. Kind of, they were in it, they hung around, but then ultimately it just wasn't a road that they really robustly wanted to go down. But I don't know that for a fact. That's just me guessing. And I would say that statement could apply to a number of teams, a large number of teams.
All right, last one for me. What do you make of a country club billing cycle and a re-entry for Aaron Rodgers to those fees? Is it just an auto-renew?
Yeah,
Is it large enough that you want to dive into that one?
I wouldn't read too much into that one way or the other. Yes, it could be something that was set up for an auto renew. It could be how great would it be? Would it not be the ultimate troll job to be playing golf at the country club down the road while they're in camp? You know, I was almost said two a days, but those days are gone. But they're in camp, you know, carrying their own pads and waiting to jump on the back of somebody's bicycle. And Aaron Rodgers just hit a hole in one on the par three, fourth hole over there at the country club. I don't know, guys. I don't think this is moving the meter one way or the other. When you're talking about the kind of money this guy has and the kind of lifestyle that he has, and how calculated and cunning he can be in the media, this might be a passive-aggressive game he's playing one way or the other. But the bottom line is, I don't believe that the proximity to this country club or his status at this country club has anything to do with what's really going on here, which is a very personal, very bitter blood feud between him and that front office.
He's on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, thank you so much for your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Outstanding.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
All right. Great stuff there from Jason Lockenfora. Now, why do I just picture, like, Aaron Rodgers in a dim room and, like, his assistant is talking to him and saying things like, and, your country club renewal membership is up. What do you want to do about that? You want to dump out? Wait. Let me think. No. Renew it. For now.
Take another sip of tequila?
It's not renewed for now. I mean, renew it and it's there or, you know. No. Yeah. Renew it for now. And maybe I can get part of my deposit back at some point later on in the future. But if you're not going to stay, why would you want it? That's like $10,000. You realize the money that I make, $10,000, is nothing. Let's have a little social experiment with this, shall we? Yeah, but Aaron, I don't think... trust me, the media will pick it up. They will think, what is this guy thinking? That's exactly what I want the Packers to be thinking. No, let that money go through. Let them think I'm going to be playing at that country club coming up later on this summer. Now get that, and then he turns the lights on, he goes out and goes, that's my day in trolling by Aaron Rodgers. All done.
Yeah, and while he's doing his 18, he's saying, hey, when's the beer cart come by? and things of that nature. And look, I mean, he's making money off the residuals from his appearance in one of the final episodes of The Office. When Andy was trying to be part of an a cappella competition, he was one of the judges, like the it was Clay Aiken.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers, and I forget who was with them. But either way, the point being that, he did some stellar acting work there. So I got to imagine he's getting some of those checks for 75 cents or whatever it is per airing. And those air often. So, you know, he could probably pay the fees out of that.
I think he probably gets more than 75 cents per. I think it's a little bit more.
Have you seen some of the residual checks?
Yeah, but this is Aaron Rodgers. You didn't just call and get anybody from Central Casting to
paid?
Come down.
No, I don't think he got paid that much for. Come on.
You know, he like everybody's smart. I'll get my money on the back end. When? In residuals.
Well, now you can play that game as long as you go. It used to be you had to get the 100 episodes to go to syndication. Now that's all out the window because of all these streaming deals and limited series and everything else.
So, we get Dodgers-Padres tonight. How about that? And it has been all Padres so far in the first inning. You had a leadoff double. Then you had the big three-run jack by Machado. 4-0. The Padres still batting in the bottom of the first inning. A big day in Major League Baseball, as we talked about. We're going to get into something coming up next because, Mike Harmon, I got to tell you, when it comes to Jacob DeGrom, as you know what happened today, you know, he pitched great today. He won again. He lowered his ERA. It's at 0.5 now. I mean, everything, all the accolades, you know. I got to say, there is one thing I am really surprised about Jacob DeGrom that it hadn't happened until today. There is one thing I am incredibly surprised by. All the things Jacob DeGrom has done. Best pitcher in baseball. Maybe the greatest pitcher in baseball history. Maybe the best athlete in the history of sports. There is one thing I am stunned that didn't happen with him until today. And that's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. And we'll see if Mitchell Trubisky is the guy that Tom Brady's talking about. But that's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
We got more on the biggest story in the NFL coming up in about 10 minutes, but something that happened tonight that I am really incredibly surprised didn't happen until today. All right, today was the first day Major League Baseball has started to check pitchers to make sure they don't have any sticky stuff on their gloves, on their hands, on their caps, on their belts. And who was the first guy checked today? Well, it just happens to be the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, maybe the greatest player in the history of sports. I mean, going all the way back to like the early times when it was, you know, Greece and Sparta fighting against each other that you learned about in middle school. Jacob DeGrom was checked.
Excited.
when he was leaving the mound in the first inning after throwing 100, 100, 99, 98, 100, 100 against the Braves, a game the Mets won 4-2, and he came up clean. Everything was fine. He walks back to the dugout. Him and his catcher, Thomas Nito, give a bit of a high five to each other, like, yeah, okay, I'm clean. And clearly DeGrom went out, and you know that, all right, maybe DeGrom is doing it clean. Everybody who had that, maybe DeGrom is cheating. You got to cross it off the list on how to beat him because DeGrom pitched fantastic.
Well, that's
today.
Not necessarily true, though.
Why?
That just means he didn't do it for the first inning.
So what about the
How
other four
like
innings
that
he came out to pitch?
Well, they already checked him. They already did the charade of let's go out there and hey, the best pitcher in the game.
Oh, so then he loaded everything up.
It's a photo op.
Okay, so then he loaded everything up.
Hey, we checked DeGrom. See it?
Got it. Okay.
Make sure, cut and print. Make sure that goes across the globe right now.
So
look, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on the man or denigrate what he's doing. All I'm saying is once they've checked you, I'm fairly certain they're not checking you again. Like right now, as he was walking off the mound, they decided to go through the hat and glove of Urias. I don't know that they'll do that again.
And the Padres are saying, no, don't do that. Leave him in the game. We got four runs
whatever,
in the first
whatever
inning.
He's using or not, that's cool.
Look,
but
baseball,
you get my point. It's like they're not going to get I don't know.
He
had a little smirk on his face when he went back out for the second.
Yeah, DeGrom was out for a perfect first inning throwing 100. Okay, everything is fine. Then they checked him after. I mean, look, this is how baseball's going to do it, right? They're going to go out. They're going to check for a while. This is going to be a story. If they find something, they find something. And then we're going to move on, right? That's how things are. And so far, you know, everything has been okay with Major League Baseball today. Guys haven't been getting hit in the head. No one's been getting hit in the hip, in the arm. It's not been a rash of pitches outside the strike zone. You know, baseball still continues on. But I will give you this. While as if you want to say that you think DeGrom is doing it, we'll fight next time. I said we will absolutely fight.
What did I say? I didn't say I think he did. I'm just saying from the optics of it, yes, get him after the first, and then it's done.
Yeah, they're checking you, Darvish, right now. Dodgers and the Padres coming out to the mound. They're checking Darvish.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we did our checks. All right, Major League Baseball, we're good? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They checked Darvish said, okay, we're good. I'm going back out. But here's – I am really surprised that it took until today for anybody to want to check Jacob DeGrom for doing something, because this guy has had some kind of rise. He was he's a late bloomer. He was a shortstop in college and he changed to become a pitcher. He rose through the Mets minor league system so quickly. In 2015, he became I knew he was going to be an ace in 2015 when he beat the Dodgers in game 5 of the NLDS. I knew then, but what he's doing now is otherworldly. And you're seeing a guy go, okay, you go from throwing 93, 95, now you're throwing 100. Wait a minute. I'm really surprised it took until now for people to get behind the, is DeGrom doing something? Because most people that we see doing at something at a really high level where it doesn't make sense, or something that's, they didn't do this right when they came in, it's a big question going, hang on, what are they doing? Why are they succeeding now when they haven't? Now, DeGrom has always been very good. Now, has he been this level? He's been terrific for a long time, but this level of unhittable with an ERA of 0.50, no one's had this. Even in the history of the game, no one's had an ERA like this. So I really am surprised it took until now for people to get behind the, hey, what could DeGrom be doing? Now we're checking. Now we're going to see. Right? Last week, there was the big video that got put on social media of DeGrom touching his belt after a strikeout. And it was, oh, what's he doing? What's he got on there? And I'm surprised it took until now. I thought for sure it would have happened before standing right here, you know, Monday, June 14th. I really thought it was going to
happen. Well, today is the first day of enforcement. So I think it's the let's put on a show. All the starters, you're going to have to go through the checks, maybe the pat downs, all of those, and then we move on. I'd be curious as we get deeper into this game, you know, and we get to the bullpens, how much that is done. Is it per pitcher? Is it you look suspicious, like you're waiting for me to come out and check you on the mound? I mean, things of that nature. So I'd be curious the enforcement, like you said, how long it's before it kind of drifts off into the good night. Not that we won't be from the analytics side doing the splits from the date it was announced, right? And before the last week since it was announced, and then now from the enforcement forward, you know, how much pitchers' performances, spin rate, and all that change, and the saltiness, and Tyler Glass now being a guy saying eight injuries, so we got that opening up as well. I did throw out rhetorically because of the Yankees triple play again. Are we going to do anything to change that? Because those are happening too frequently this year.
My dad is excited. He said to me yesterday, if we get a triple play every game, we're going to win a lot. I go, yeah. Now he suddenly thinks it's going to happen all the time. They're going to get triple plays to win games every day.
Well, it's the folks that is like, hey, it's come up heads on a coin toss seven straight times. It has to come up an eighth.
Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith with Mike Carmen. I mean, honestly, you know how I feel about DeGrom and the Mets. I mean, but I really am surprised. It took until now because of the level he's been playing at. Incredible. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369 is the phone number. Coming up next, we get back into the biggest story of the night in the National Football League. Keep it here. Fox.